"I think this is mine," said Polly, fighting for breath. Light still glowed around Wazza, who turned to face the squad with an expression of beatific pleasure. "You must speak to the High Command," she said.
"You must speak to the High Command," whispered the walls.
"Be kind to this child.
Be kind to this child. This child."
Polly caught Wazza before she hit the ground. "What's happening with her?" said Tonka.
"I think the Duchess really is speaking through her," said Polly.
Wazza was unconscious, only the white of her eyes showing. Polly laid the girl down gently.
"Oh, come on! The Duchess is just a painting! She's dead!"
Sometimes you give in. For Polly, that time had been the length of time it took to walk through the crypt. If you don't believe, or want to believe, or if you don't simply hope that there's something worth believing in, why turn round? And if you don't believe, who are you trusting to lead you out of the grip of dead men?
"Dead," she said. "So what? What about the old soldiers back there who haven't faded away? What about the light? And you heard how Wazza's voice sounded?"
"Yeah, but, well, that sort of thing doesn't happen to people you know," said Tonka.
"It happens to, well, strange religious people. I mean, a few days ago she was learning how to fart loudly."
"She?" whispered Blouse to Polly. "She? Why is—"
Once again, a part of Polly's mind overtook the sudden panic.
"Sorry, Daphne," she said.
"Oh, yes, of course. Can't be too, yes," the lieutenant murmured.
Igorina knelt down by the girl and put a hand on her forehead.
"She's on fire," she said.
"She used to pray all the time back at the Grey House," said Lofty, kneeling down.
"Yeah, well, there was a lot to pray about if you weren't strong," growled Tonka. "And every bloody day we had to pray to the Duchess to thank Nuggan for slops you wouldn't give to a pig. And that damn picture everywhere, that fishy stare, I hate it. It could drive you mad. That's what happened to Waz, right? And now you want me to believe the old fat biddy is here and treating our friend there like some puppet or something? I don't believe it. And if it's true, it shouldn't be."
"She's burning up, Magda," said Lofty quietly.
"Do you know why we joined up?" said Tonka, red in the face. "To get away. Anything was better than what we had. I've got Lofty, and Lofty's got me, and we're sticking with you because there's nothing else for us. Everyone says the Zobinians are terrible, right? But they've never done anything to us. They've never hurt us. If they want to come over here and hang a few bastards, I could give them a list. Everywhere there's something bad happening. Everywhere the small-minded bullies are inventing new cruelties, new ways of keeping us down, that bloody face is watching. And you say it's here?"
"We're here," said Polly. "And you are here. And we're going to do what we came to do and get out, understand? You kissed the picture. You took the shilling."
"I damn well didn't kiss her face, and a shilling's the least they owe me."
"Then go," shouted Polly.
"Desert! We won't stop you because I'm sick of your bullshit. But you make up your mind right now, understand? Because when we meet the enemy, I don't want to think you're there to stab me in the back."
The words flew out before she could stop them, and there was no power in the world that could snatch them back. Tonka went pale, and a certain life drained out of her face like water from a funnel.
"What was that you said?"
The words, "You heard me," lined up to spring from Polly's tongue, but she hesitated. She told herself, "It doesn't have to go this way. You don't have to let a pair of socks do the talking."
"Words that were stupid," she said. "I'm sorry. I didn't mean it."
Tonka settled slightly.
"Well, all right then," she said grudgingly. "Just so long as you know we're in this for the squad, okay? Not for the army, and not for the bloody Duchess."
"That was a treasonable speech, Private Holter," said Lieutenant Blouse. Everyone but Polly had forgotten about him, and he stood there like an easy man to forget. "However," he went on, "I realise we're all somewhat—he looked down at his dress—confused and bewildered by the pace of events." Tonka tried to avoid Polly's eye.
"Sorry, sir," she muttered, glowering.
"I must make it clear that I will not stand to hear such things repeated," said Blouse.
"No, sir."
"Good," said Polly quickly. "So, let's—" "But I will overlook it this time," Blouse went on. Polly could see Tonka snap, the head raised slowly.
"You'll overlook it," said Tonka. "You "'We'll overlook it,'